Welcome to St. Louis On the Air. I'm Don Marsh. The death this past week of award-winning actor Robert Guillaume reminded us that he was born in St. Louis and that he made a difference for African Americans in his profession, largely through his portrayal of the character Benson in two successful TV series. Joining me to discuss Guillaume's influence are Ron Himes, the founder and producing director of St. Louis Black Repertory Company. He joins us by phone. With me in studio is veteran actor J. Samuel Davis, who is well known to St. Louis audiences. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome, sir. Pleasure to meet you.
I understand maybe we have lost Ron Himes. Hopefully we'll get him back during the course of our discussion. But I wanted to start with you, Jay, anyway, because you knew Robert Guillaume.
I did. I was best friends with his youngest son, Jacques. And we met in grade school, and we continued to be friends all the way until his death in 1990. Growing up, we knew that Robert was into the arts. He was on stage, man, at that point before we graduated high school. So he was doing Jacques Brel's Alive and all that on Broadway. And so he was just a little name, but we were following him because we both were singers. His son had a phenomenal voice. I wish people could hear his voice. And I was highly influenced by him because he was a black man from St. Louis who was coming up through the ranks doing Broadway, which is what I wanted to do. And so when we graduated from high school, Jacques and I, Jacques went to join him. He had just got done doing Soap.
Which is what really launched the Benson
character. Oh, my goodness, yes. Yep. And so we were heartily following Soap. So when Jacques could, Robert sent for him, and he went to live with Robert. So that year, I went to stay with them. While Jacques was living with him then. So I got to stay at Robert's house.
Well, that must have been quite an experience for a young man because he was, at the time that you moved out there, he was an established figure on television.
He was. I used to call him a quiet giant because, of course, there were the Cosbys and, you know, all the other big personalities. But Robert was the lead of a major TV show long before it was, you know, popular for any African-American man to do so. And he did it on his own ranks. They gave him a spinoff because he was so good on Soap. And so we went out there during the Benson years. Yeah.
Well, I've seen some interviews that he's done and, of course, read about him following his death. And one of the things that has struck me, and one of the reasons I wanted to talk with you and hopefully Ron a little bit later, is the fact that he was very, very careful about the way he played that role. He didn't want to be a stereotypical black buffoon, because it was a comedy role, and that's generally the way it worked out.
Yes. He had a lot to do with that, a lot of how he portrayed that role, because, you know, of course, the writers were going in the direction of, you know, the sassy butler who, you know, came in and did the one-line quips. But he put a gravitas on it that they didn't expect. Mm-hmm. And he refused to be the brunt of the joke. You were the brunt of the joke, you know, via him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what caught the attention, and they wanted to do that character further. Because he was not a stereotype butler. Hmm. We had never seen a butler like that before.
Sure.
And went on to take that to greater heights as Benson.
What sort of an influence do you think that he in that role had on people who are coming up behind him,
well,
such as
yourself?
Well,
I can speak for myself. Yeah. Like I said, quiet giant, lead of a major TV show in an era when I was not done. Highly influential, a vocalist, a director, a great actor. He had done other things on TV as well as short stories on TV as well. So he was highly influential. I wanted to be just like him. Mm-hmm. And so did his son, Jacques. Mm-hmm. We would sit at his feet sometimes, and he would, you know, tell us about the business and sort of where to go and what not to do and stuff like that. But, you know, he was a disciplinarian, so he didn't really push Jacques to do stuff, but he was there to help Jacques, but not, you know, push him to do anything, you know.
I understand that Ron Himes has joined us now.
Hi, Ron.
Ron, nice to have you with us.
How you doing, Don? Hey, Jay.
Hey.
We're doing just great. Let me put the questions to you that we've been talking with Jay about. How was Robert Guillaume an inspiration to you, perhaps, and to other people in the theater profession?
Well, you know, as a young company, when we were, you know, in our infancy in the theater and during the 23rd Street days, you know, was your Guillaume had played Pearly in, you know, the Broadway production of Pearly. And then, you know, we knew him from his television work from Soap and then the spinoff to the show Benson. And in Benson, you know, he was the man. He ran everything. And so it was always, you know, a great role model in terms of the kind of role that he played, the dignity that his characters had, and then just sort of his background, you know, of course, being from, knowing that he was from St. Louis, and that, you know, he had grew up really, really poor in St. Louis, but, you know, managed to pull himself up. I then began following him, knowing that he had spent time at the Caramu House as an actor there. And then, you know, he moved to New York and his, you know, career just sort of took off. Always wanted to try to get him to come back to St. Louis to do something with the rep. We weren't able to do that. But just following him was always just so inspirational and a bar for us to, you know, try to reach.
Jay and I have talked about this part of it. I'd like to get your take on it, Ron. And that is that he was very purposeful in the way he accepted the role of Benson. He was a little leery of it initially because he thought it could be a kind of a play to a black stereotype, which he didn't want to do. He didn't want to be a buffoon or servile. And that was a very important to him, and I think also to African-Americans in the profession.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's when I mentioned that, you know, his dignity, his character, you know, he ultimately wound up being the man with the authority, and he knew how to wield that authority and how to use it. He knew how to conduct himself, you know, to get the things done that he needed to get done. And he was able to sort of deal with all of the challenges that came to the office in that role that allowed him to do it with, you know, such dignity and grace.
He had a lot of influence in that writing and in that portrayal. You know, he would talk with the writers and stuff and, you know, get them to do, you know, take the storylines further. You know what I mean? And so,
Do you have any sense, either one of you, with regard to how that was accepted amongst the writers and the producers and the directors?
Go ahead, Ron.
Go ahead, Dre. No, go ahead.
I think that that in order for the show to continue and him to still portray Benson, and they had to, you know, give him a listen, and you can't argue with the success of the show. I mean, the writings that the things that he influenced and stuff for the character certainly sent that show into another level. You know what I'm saying? They had to have this sort of input into what was going on with his character and the storylines.
Even early on, I mean, they didn't know what they were getting.
They really didn't. Yeah. And he fashioned that show. He was very influential in how that show turned out.
Ron?
Right. I think, you know, again, that it was, you know, it was one of those Norman Lear shows. And at the time, you know, Norman Lear was really pushing the envelope. And so he was working with actors, all, you know, all kinds of actors, but particularly he was working with black actors who were willing to, you know, take that risk with him and really push the political agenda and push, you know, the kinds of putting the kinds of characters and the kinds of situations on the screen that people hadn't done before. You know, just that whole sort of series of shows that Norman Lear, you know, sort of fostered. Was consistent with the kind of work that Guillaume was able to do on Benson.
This Benson and Soap followed All in the Family, and Norman Lear certainly blazed a few trails with that one, didn't he?
Oh, for sure, for sure. You know, and even, you know, back that was the good times and all that. You know, and I know of some actors who had problems with, you know, Lear and some of the storylines, you know, they are, you know, as usual, you know, it's a matter of time and pacing in those instances a lot. And so, you know, he what Guillaume was able to do, I think, is to work gradually, you know, to bring about change. Whereas I know, you know, some instances where there was, you know, other actors who wanted change faster. They wanted storylines pushed that dealt more, more political, to be more political than they were. But I think that, as Jay said, you know, I think the longevity of those shows and the longevity of Guillaume's career shows that he was one who was able to work within the system to change the system.
Mm-hmm. Well, how far have we come? And I'll put this question to both of you. We're talking about the 1980s now with regard to Guillaume and Benson. How far have we come between then and now in terms of maintaining this kind of attitude in show business? Jay, let me start with you.
We've come a long way. There are far more opportunities for people of color and women, other, you know, minorities to forge their own shows, to present their own ideas out there. I think that's possible because of people like Robert. But we still have a long way to go. I mean, you know, people in power still try to sort of mute our stories and put their own spin on it. So I look forward for the day when we sort of, you know, rise above all that and really be able to tell stories that are prevalent to people of color and minorities.
Ron Himes, what do you think?
Right, I think that certainly we've come a ways, but we've got a long, long ways. So I think that, you know, the pendulum swings in a certain way. And now where it would seem that we would have, you know, made tremendous progress and we would see all kinds of change. But what we really see in some instances is going backwards. You know, now, you know, you mentioned Archie Bunker. You know, now that character is, you know, pretty prevalent in America again. And as a result,
you're not talking about the onstage character, are you?
No, I'm not talking about the onstage character. I'm talking about everyday people who think like Archie Bunker and who express themselves like Archie Bunker, and who now give people who are progressive and want change, people who want to build on the progress that was made. Present a whole nother set of challenges for us, a whole nother set of barriers. And they are really trying to turn the clock backwards in a lot of instances. So it's still a challenge, you know, in the entertainment industry, in the theater, in television and film, and in society in general.
Well, we're seeing one of the manifestations of that right now in St. Louis with what's going on in the streets following that acquittal of the police officer recently. I mean, it's another front in this ongoing battle, it seems to me.
Yes, exactly. As you know, I was just talking to a colleague. I'm out of town directing a production of Our Town. And basically what I'm doing is I am threading a lot of what's going on in the streets in St. Louis and in other major cities, and the sort of protests that are going on, threading them through the play. Because, you know, Our Town is different. You know, it's like, whose town? You know, I told the kids, I said, in St. Louis, you know, in the streets, they're yelling, whose streets? Our streets. And so we opened the play saying, whose town? Our town.
Let me just be clear about something. Are you talking about Thornton Wilder's Our Town that
you're
adapting?
Yes.
I am exactly talking about Thornton Wilder's Our Town.
Well, that's a pretty good one, and very convenient for you with the message that you want to tell people about these days.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me
and
get back.
In this,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, after you.
No, I was going to say, and the students are embracing it, and, you know, actually, they'll be good. I'll talk to them a bit about Guillaume today in rehearsal and, you know, give them something else, because I'm sure that most of them never heard of Robert Guillaume, never heard of Soap or Benson, and, you know, even our great little musical theater students probably don't realize that he, you know, played Pearlie on Broadway.
Or Phantom of the Opera.
Phantom of the Opera.
Right. Oh, Phantom. Yeah, people say he was one of the great Phantoms.
You know that one of the things that I learned about him and getting ready for this program, and you've alluded to it, Jay and Ron, is what a singer he was. He wanted to be a singer, and I
classically trained.
Absolutely, yeah. And he was in. Let's see, Guys and Dolls, the African American version of that.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Porgy and Bess,
yes.
Obviously. And I heard him sing in one of the clips they played as part of the obituaries, and he had a heck of a voice.
Oh my goodness, he sang all his life. Matter of fact, coming up and stuff like that, he sang with a folk group that had an album out, and Jock and I used to play the album and laugh at the songs because he was like three white folk and Robert, but yeah, he sang all his life. He was classically trained, had a beautiful voice, taut voice. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me get back to the influence that he has had and how far we've come since he was playing Benson. You know, it was just a couple of years ago that during the Academy Awards, much was made of the fact that it was like virtually all white.
Oh yeah.
Did that
so white?
Right. Yeah. Did that change anything once that was brought to the fore?
I don't. Well, I mean, it was. I thought that it was good that it was brought to the front. It was pointed out. Certainly, it has been that way for years and years and years. Whether that like sparked the powers that be to sort of look at people of color, you know, in other categories, in these categories, I don't know. But I thought it was a sort of an eye opener for the film community that people felt so heartily about it.
Ron, have you seen any change since that was brought about a couple of years ago?
Not a lot. I mean, you know, that I think it was that Oscar ceremony that Guillaume and his wife were box mates with Sidney Poitier and his wife.
Oh, wow.
And that was the year that Halle Berry and Denzel
right.
won.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whenever they did that cutaway to the box, you saw Sidney Poitier and his wife and Robert Guillaume and his wife.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the question for me is, or the question that I asked myself then is, man, what must Sidney be sitting there thinking as long ago as it was that he thought he was breaking down those barriers, and as long ago as it was that people were saying that it's time for a change, and we, you know, we look at the work of Sidney Poitier and celebrate or honor it, and then Sidney has to sit there that many years later and hear the same conversation. And here we are this many years past that Oscar,
still
having
the same
conversation.
That's
so I think the fact that we are asking the question answers the question.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of why I wanted to have this conversation, because it's, and why I've put some of those questions out there. But let me raise one other issue here that I think in the couple of minutes that we have left. What is Hamilton going to do, do you think, to this whole theater experience? Mixed cast, you've got a black man playing Aaron Burr, and Take that one, Ron, if you would.
I think the thing is that Lin-Manuel wrote it, and I think that the fact that he was able to get it produced
was phenomenal.
The difference.
Yeah,
and I think that that's where the challenge is, and that's where I think the ability for change to really happen is that, you know, we've got tremendous writers of color.
The stories are
we've
out
got,
there.
Yeah, and the story, tremendous stories to be told. What the challenge is getting them produced and getting them distributed. And Hamilton just burst the bubble. And I think that, you know, again, hopefully it's not just a fleeting phenomena, but again, hopefully it's opened the door for a while. I mean, you know, during the 70s were when all of the big black Broadway musicals came. You know, we had Bubbling Brown Sugar and The Wiz and Tap Dance Kid and all of these musicals during the 70s. So we'll see. We'll see if Hamilton has opened the door wide enough and that it'll stay open long enough for us to be able to see another resurgence of more work like that.
Well, one of the things that I saw with this is the fact that you had, again, this mixed race cast, and that audiences could look at these characters and race didn't play any part of what they were seeing. Mm-hmm. They were accepting these people as people and not people of color.
Which is, I think, which is the huge appeal of Hamilton. And that why it works so well is because there's so many, you can see so many types of people on stage, but you know, and race sort of goes away at that point, and talent wins out. So hopefully that's a sign of things to come.
That's really, you know, what I've done with this production of Our Town here. I have a black George and a white Emily. Mr. Gibbs is black. His wife is white. Mrs. Webb is African American. Her husband is white. I have Linda Kennedy down here playing the stage manager.
All right.
And it's because of a relationship that I've developed here that I can get the green light to be able to do that kind of thing.
There you go. So there's the connection. That's how we're connecting the dots between the 1980s, more recently in Hollywood, and even more recently here in St. Louis. Ron Himes, I want to thank you so much for being with us. Glad we were able to make that connection. You're going to bring Our Town to St. Louis?
I'm thinking about it now. I had never thought of this production, but I really am thinking about it now.
We want to see that. Thank you, Ron Himes. Samuel Davis. Jay, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure, sir.
This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.